This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I am Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or introduce a new way of thinking, but most importantly, to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Thank you to the fabulous team of Dano and Mason for some great afternoon's music and chatter, and the equally lovely Beck for the news. Clayton is across the desk and joining us on the microphone this evening in the Stand Up Straight studios.
Thanks for letting me.
Oh, you are always welcome, Clayton. And next to me and joining us in the studio is the lovely Stephanie.
Hello, Michelle.
We've got a little bit of a music bed underneath. I'm wondering if anybody can guess what kind of theme we might have tonight. So Chocolato Lombardo is a proudly Australian made and owned company with a mission to be the best retailer of handmade gourmet artisan chocolates. What a sweet treat it is to have Ted Lombardo chat to us tonight about his chocolate journey and his role as one of Joy's 94.9's co-hosts for the Escape Hour. So has anybody put two and two together out there, I'm wondering, with our little music underneath? Ted, welcome.
Know. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me to come on.
Stephanie, why did you select this little bit of music below?
Willy Wonka. You've got to love a bit of Willy Wonka.
I wonder if people were a little bit confused at the beginning.
Clayton. Pure imagination. Well, I mean, we all know it.
We have some imagination sometimes.
So. Yes, we do.
Have to.
So Ted has joined us tonight, has, would we say probably one of the best jobs in the entire world? Is that how you describe yourself?
Most of the times, although 4 a.m. this morning when we had to get up and start making hot cross buns, I question it. But no, overall, it's a great job and one that I'm glad that I chose and I was able to choose.
And having popped into the store today,
yes,
Tad, I was interested to see your hot cross buns advertised.
Yep.
And that's a bit of a diversification.
It is. It's something that I wanted to try actually to do last year and never found the time for. So this year I had a little bit of help with a friend who was helping me out in the kitchen, and we thought, might as well do it. And it's been incredible. Today we sold something like 600.
Yeah, well, there were none there
crazy.
When I arrived.
No,
in the
there
afternoon,
weren't.
So, you know, sorry. Well, it's
you
always
made
the
600.
Yes. Yeah. So it was pretty crazy.
You're hands on. You are in there in the kitchen. Yeah.
Front
sifting
of house.
Flour,
yeah.
Doing what, I don't know what you do, so, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to be able to do that front of house and to be able to, or sorry, in the kitchen and front of house and to know it all, because once the business grows, I will have people in those positions, I need to know what they go through. Mm. I think it's important to do that. And I've seen too many managers and business owners that don't, and I think that's a problem.
And just to explain a little bit about the store, you know, it is a fairly visual experience, isn't it? Because when you're in the front of house, you know, you can see into the kitchen as well.
Yep.
So you are very present.
Very much. I call it a bit of a fishbowl sometimes.
Yeah.
And you're very aware that people are watching every move. And sometimes that's a bit daunting because sometimes you don't feel like being watched. But but at the end of the day, you're also providing an experience for the people that come to the market. And that's important too.
And it's at Paran Market.
It is. That's right. In South Yarra. Yep.
So is this your favourite time of year?
This and Christmas. Definitely. Yeah. And the cooler months are good too because people tend to consume more chocolate in the cooler months than in the summertime. So not just from a sales point of view, but you can do more creative things during that time of year.
Well, it melts slower.
It melts a lot slower.
People are going to walk out and suddenly have a pool of chocolate.
Exactly. So. I had somebody come into the shop today buying their Easter chocolate, and they had purchased their Christmas chocolate there, and they're telling me how one of the chocolate baubles that I had made melted in the window, and I was like, well, not much chocolate. I can do about that. I mean, you know, it'll melt.
It's Australia and it is 30 degrees.
That's right.
So is your work done now, Tad, for Easter?
No.
No?
I sold out of a lot today. Today was an incredible sales day. It's probably one of the record days I've had, which is which is great. Yeah, it is because, you know, in a small business, it's, you know, you're one day from having to close your door, really, in a lot of sense of the word. And it's hard, too, when you're trying to do everything yourself. And, you know, I mean, it's not like don't cry for me, Argentina, but I'm the one who makes the chocolate. I deliver the chocolate. I market it. I sell it. And while I do have help from time to time on certain days, it's mainly still a one-man show. And so it just gives you a boost, even though it's tiring, you know, a long day. For example, for today, it gives you a big boost and it just lets you know that you're doing the right things.
You've not always been in the food industry, though,
no.
Have you? So I know it's quite a very, very different history that you had up
it
until
is.
Quite recently.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail. But I'm just wondering whether you feel that chocolate is a romantic thing. I feel it is, and it's a treat.
It
Do
is.
You feel the same way?
Totally. And it's a luxury, too. You know, during the global financial crisis, chocolate was the one area of commerce, whatever you want to call it, that actually didn't suffer. People still spent money on chocolate, and that's a proven statistic.
As much? I'm wondering if it would... Did it just remain the same?
No, it remained the same.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So it was one indulgence that people still felt they wanted during
it's
hard times.
It's an affordable indulgence.
It is. And
really,
there's different levels of it too. So, yeah.
So people perhaps were still buying, but they perhaps not the luxury. Would they buy, you know, your supermarket brand type chocolates more?
Probably. Mm. Probably they would do that for sure. And again, you know, there's different people that are in different markets. You know, mine's more of a high end. Mm. It's more expensive. It's handmade, and I'm using quite expensive ingredients. So that's not for everybody. You know, some people just want a commercial bar that you can buy from the grocery store, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I do.
Oh.
Yeah, sometimes.
Controversial. We have the very, very sweet Tad Lombardo in the studio with us tonight. We're going to get to know him, a little bit more about the chocolate, have a little fun, and come back and find out what kind of sea change you actually had, Tad. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Joy 94.9 would like to thank you for supporting our podcast service. In March 2017 alone, our community downloaded over 48,500 Joy podcasts. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? So if you haven't yet, now is the time to search for your favourite Joy programs on iTunes and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Some of the episodes that you can download at the moment are The Silver Fox, this week speaking to Irish-American comedian Des Bishop and spoken word poet Tom Milligan, The Fringe Wives Club, join the Brekkie Bears for a song and a chat about their show, and new Joy program, The Escape Hour, with Tad, who we've got here this evening with us, chat all things food and travel in the Big Apple. Alice shares her shameful confession on Joy's lesbian book club, Read Her. Well, that sounds interesting. I think I'll be downloading that one. And Geeks Unite, Checkpoint is joined by co-founder of GX Australia, Liam Essler, on the importance of an inclusive gaming community. If you like what you hear, please rate and review our podcasts on iTunes. Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and iTunes.
Joy 94.9.
ain't sick, so thank you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you sex a thing.
Michelle, Stephanie and Clayton in the studio, and with our sweet guest, Tad Lombardo. We're talking all things chocolate, sweetness, and it's just a kind of happy time of year, I think, for a lot of people. We've got a four-day weekend, as we all know, judging by the traffic on the roads tonight. But there's something, I don't know if you feel the same way, but a couple of people at work bought Easter eggs in today. So there's this... Maybe it's the sharing perspective, maybe, you know, and I'm Jewish, so I don't celebrate Easter in that sense, but there's something, it's a symbol of a bit of a holiday time or relaxed time, fun time. Do you find that too?
Absolutely, and a lot less pressure than at Christmas time.
Yeah.
I think that's the big difference.
And I think that comes back to what you were saying about chocolate being an affordable commodity. Even when times get tough, people still buy chocolate.
Yeah.
And so it is a gift that you can give easily. So people come into the office and they bring chocolate. I know my daughter was taking chocolate eggs to school and, you know, it was lovely thing that kids can exchange. Yeah. It doesn't cost a lot of money, but it's a lovely gesture. And everybody, well, most people like chocolate.
Well, that's just it. Exactly right. And it's funny, I have one of my regular customers who comes in and she always says that she doesn't trust people that don't like chocolate. So it's kind of like, oh, whatever.
Have you always had two questions? One, a passion for food, but has it been chocolate primarily in general?
No, it wasn't. I mean, I did always have a passion for food. I mean, I started cooking with my grandmother and wanting to be in the kitchen with my mother. And
what were you cooking with them? Do you remember what you used to, what your favorite stuff?
Pasta or just when she was making Thanksgiving dinner, I'd just be in there just watching what she was doing, or Christmas or Easter, whatever it was. It was big family gatherings. And I've got a cookbook of all my grandmother's recipes, and I still have a handful of this. And I still make all of those things today. And I think it's important from a legacy point of view. I mean, that's when I eat those foods that are from her recipe, it reminds me of her. And I think that's important too.
They're the type of recipes I like, is the ones that's a handful of. And it's, I hate, you know, I don't hate, I do work with it occasionally, but cooking something that has everything is mapped out for you, you have to have exactly this and this.
That's right.
The recipes that have you in it that's right. really well.
And that's the difference, though, between savory and pastry. Pastry is very exact, and if you don't do it exactly, it's not going to come out right. So that's the other side of it, which I do enjoy, that side of the technical part of pastry, pretty much, which is this whole other side of my brain that works. Usually.
So you talked about spending time with your grandmother in the kitchen, and food didn't start there as being a major part of your life. You had a very, very different career up until, what, six, seven years ago, roughly?
Yeah. So tell my background's engineering, but I was in risk management and engineering consulting field. With that said, I did always love food. I put myself through uni, so I had to find a way to pay for the school loans. Mm. And I did that by working for a catering company in northern New Jersey, and it was in Bernardsville. And we catered out of this beautiful mansion. It was every Saturday and Sunday. We did primarily just weddings. And I worked my way up from being a waiter to managing it. Mm. So that's where I really realized that I really loved the food world, and that ultimately, that's probably what I really wanted to do, but I had to pay homage to the fact that I just spent so much money and time and struggled through university, and you know, I needed to make that work for me for a little bit too.
So why did it take you 20 years to get back to food? And tell me a little bit about that journey, because obviously, you know, you've moved continents between during that time.
And well, I met my partner, and he was based in London at the time. I was working in Tower 2 of the World Trade Center at that time. And, you know, my whole being in Australia, you know, moving here when I did, if I hadn't, I know I would have been in the Twin Towers when September 11th happened. So it's just one of those things where, you know, I made the right decision. I know there were people, my friends and family, who felt I was crazy for moving continents. And I always felt very comfortable with doing that. And the worst thing that could happen is I could get on a plane and come home, you know, go back. That's the way I saw that. So I guess it's kind of like, in everything in life, you know, you can choose to not do something because of the negative things, or you can choose to do it because you don't know where it is, and that's part of the journey, if that's the right word.
So you arrived here in 1996.
I did.
And to Melbourne.
To Melbourne, yeah.
And did you fall in love with the city straight away? Or
Funnily enough, I had visited Melbourne the year before, before I'd met my partner, because I've always had a fascination with Australia, which stems from my grandfather, who... he had a big radio room in his house because he was into radio, and we would always play in this radio room, and it was this huge room, and there was these old style looking green consoles, and he would always speak to a friend of his in Sydney, Australia, and I would be there when he would speak to him, and I was just always fascinated with Australia because of that. So,
but he was on air.
He was.
Your grandfather was on air, what, the '20s?
In the 1920s, he had a radio show, and it was very famous for it. And he did it. They broadcast live from the Gimbel's building on Market Street in Philadelphia. And that's actually how he met my grandmother, because he was sent to basically cover the Miss America pageant in Atlantic City live, and that's how he met her.
Oh, what a gorgeous story.
Yeah.
And is he a Lombardo too?
No, he's a Kale. So he's on my mother's side of the family. Okay. But he's an incredible person who I'm really proud to be related to. He was in charge of the DP camps in Europe after World War II, and he was also in charge of the American Armed Forces Network radio in Europe as well after
the war. So a serious career in radio.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you've got it in your blood.
I do.
There's
that's
no
why,
escaping.
No, and that's one of the reasons too why I just felt compelled to do what I'm doing now with radio, and it's just been a good match.
So how did you find Joy?
Obviously, I've known Joy has been around for a long time, and I think you reach a point too where you feel you're ready to want to not just give back to our community, but to also be a voice. I know I've got a voice, and I know I can be a positive impact on people who might need that, and that it's okay for us to be who we are and what we're doing and where we're doing. And so I think it's important to sort of give back, and that's a big part of what I'm doing here at Joy. And I think what Joy does is incredible with all the volunteers, and it's amazing.
And in particular, Radiothon that's coming up
in
about a month's time. So it kind of highlights why Joy exists and why it needs to continue to exist and grow. We're going to get to know Tad a little bit further as we come back. You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy. We have Tad Lombardo in the studio with us, talking all things chocolate. You might hear a bit of a theme with our music tonight. Clayton, I want to thank you for this fabulous choice of music this evening.
Well, we had the same thoughts of songs at the same time, apparently. The first one we played was You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate. And then we just
well,
had...
Well, that could relate to Ted in both, oh, that, you know, in both
yeah, exactly.
Yes. You're happy to have that.
It certainly that's ran right. through my head, but yeah. we won't tell him that. And then
he's in the room.
Yes, he's sitting over here.
And then we had Sweet Like Chocolate by Shanks and Bigfoot.
What a great little song. You know, you've done well. You've excelled. We, as I said, Tad's talking about, we're talking about chocolate and your career change, your history, your current career, which you've been in about 6 or 7 years. You didn't just open up the shop doors.
No,
you started with an artisan cart. Is that
I
what
did.
You, yeah?
I did.
Tell us what that is and then.
Yeah, so it's basically just a temporary space that at the time the market would allow you to basically hire for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if they liked what you were doing, you had to, had to be artisan, handmade. And they would allow you to sell your product there and you paid a minimal amount, a nominal fee to have the space. But it was great for me because before I didn't just stop doing the engineering risk management. If you're going to do something like that, it's important to have a plan in place.
Yeah, and I'd like to ask, Ted, as a risk manager, what did your instincts tell you about starting your own business and starting specifically a chocolate business?
Yeah, it was quite negative, actually, and especially what other people told you. You know, what is it, 70% of small businesses fail within the first three, and all that sort of thing.
Two years,
it's changed. And I think that's not really fair. Because nobody knows your specific drive or how stubborn you are, which you have to be to have your own business. And for me, it was one of those things that was not going, failure was not an option.
But you don't go into something like this lightly. Your research, your knowledge, your and your dedication, all of that.
I had to re-educate myself.
Of course.
Because I never knew I was obsessed with chocolate until I started investigating what I wanted to do. All I knew is I wanted to change from my engineering career to something in food. So I didn't know if I wanted a cafe or a restaurant or anything like that. So my partner had given me a gift of a gift voucher for a class at the Sofitel Culinary Institute at the time. And I chose a pastry one and there was chocolate involved with that. And when I went into the kitchen, which was the first time I'd been in the kitchen since my catering days, I just felt this thing come over me where I felt this is where I want, this is where I need to be. And then we started doing the chocolate and I became obsessed. So I started educating myself about chocolate. I did do a few courses, but largely it's trial and error, which is the engineering side that allowed me to learn it pretty quickly. Chocolate is very technical. Tempering is technical.
Yes, I guess it is.
Yeah.
But tell me, what has been your biggest disaster, your biggest chocolate disaster?
My biggest chocolate disaster?
In the early days, obviously.
Yeah.
Not recently, but... Is there something that stands out?
I didn't really have one.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. You're just a natural.
Not yet, and that scares me. I should touch wood because...
Chocolate for a lot of people might be just something, as we said, it's you go into the the milk bar or the supermarket or you walk past the shop and go, I see that in the window and you buy it and you eat it.
Yep.
How varied can chocolate be? I mean, it's not just a sweet. People, it's a very savoury item now.
It can be,
crazy combinations.
I think it's a situation... a lot of people come into my shop and they say, I've just been put on a list by Smudge Eats as one of the best chocolate shops in Australia, which I find mind-boggling. I mean,
what's that list?
It's Smudge Eats, which is the book, the publisher that comes out. And they do the flavors of Melbourne, flavors of Sydney, all those, and they published a list of their favorite, their best chocolate shops in Australia. And I just found out I was on that. And initially, you sort of think, well, how is that possible? But all of my recipes are mine. No one else does them. And they're all my take on it.
How do you know it'll be popular or it'll work? Is it a gut feeling?
No, if I like it, I'll put it out there.
Really?
That's the thing. Yeah. So, like, I did a chocolate bar a few years back to celebrate the Pran Market's 150th anniversary. And I put sourdough bread in the chocolate bar. A lot of people turn their nose. They're like, what is this? What I'd rather do a product that nobody knows about and introduce them to it than do something that someone else has already done to try to make it different, if that makes sense.
Because in this time of everyone trying to have their 15 minutes of fame, not including you in that, but people are looking for that something.
That's right.
That little edge or that way to be successful quickly in this quick, but you're not after, you're not,
I'm looking not doing for this
that.
For fame.
You're not, but no. This is longevity and also a legacy as well.
That's right.
How do you decide between what's not a novelty or something that's going to be life-changing even in a sense?
Life-changing. Yeah, I guess it's just taking that chance and also listening to your instinct. That's one of the things when I decided to do this change, there were many times in my life where I hadn't listened to my instinct and I always regretted it. So I said to myself from this point forward, I'm going to listen to my gut instinct and I'm going to go with it. And I think that makes a difference.
So, Tad, I don't know why you're surprised about being in Smudge Eats, because perhaps you can tell us a little bit about some of the awards you've won.
Yeah, well, that's very humbling. I think I'm not somebody who's used to winning awards. You know, I was the kid that would quit the race before it finished, that sort of thing. So I think there's still a bit of that in me, and I'm trying to change that. But because it's incredibly humbling when someone does say that to you, or if you've won an award. So I have won a few awards.
And it's so competitive, though, this
it
field
is.
As well. So
it is, yeah.
Which ones?
I've won a gold medal for my box chocolates. That was in 2012, I think. Yes. I also won the champion trophy for that as well.
The champion trophy?
Yep, for for box chocolates.
How do they judge that?
You submit to a panel of judges and they rip it apart, I guess.
But is it also not just taste, presentation? Is it consistency?
It's everything.
It's packaging. It's everything.
It's everything. Everything. And so there's a panel of pastry chefs there that do it. And it's pretty full on. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things that, I'm trying to learn to embrace a bit more.
So as someone who had never won an award, how did you feel about putting yourself out there and even...
Over the moon. Because it is very much so every time you do something, whether it's a new product, you're putting yourself out there for criticism.
Exactly
and,
right.
And I think initially it's quite daunting. And the more you do it, the easier it is and the less you think about it. Some people, not everybody's going to like what you do all the time. Nobody's going to like every chocolate you make. But there's always going to be somebody who does. And I think that's the important side of it.
We would love to hear maybe what your favourite chocolate is out there, what your disasters are, perhaps in cooking some kind of chocolate exotic treat. Send us a message on 0427JOY949 or you can send us an email on air@joy.org.au. I don't think Tad's going to give away sort of the really secrets. He's going to keep them close to his heart, but you might give us maybe a little bit of a hint.
I will.
We've had a message from Family Matters. Apparently they want chocolate samples.
Okay.
Just saying. From my husband, Stephen, please don't forget to say that your husband is a chocoholic. Thank you, Stephen. Is that a word that people use to describe you?
Well, not really. I mean, I love chocolate and I eat it every day. It's a part of the job, so I'm lucky about that.
But,
exactly.
And there are moments where I do crave it at home and I think, I should have brought some home with me, and I didn't.
Do you have a key to the shop? Have you ever done that? Got up in the middle of the night or it's 2 a.m. and thought, you know what, I want one of those blah, blah,
of
blah.
Of course.
You have?
Yeah, and then you go to the cupboard and you find some other thing that's there and you eat that.
Do you feel like you're a kid in a lolly shop and you look around and you go, this is mine?
Yeah, sometimes I have to do that. I make myself do that because I want to not forget where I am. And
the wonderment.
Yeah.
I love this quote from you from an interviewer who'd asked you what your favourite chocolate is, and you said, I equate this question to what is your favourite child.
Yeah, it's
so,
true.
So you don't have any favourites.
No, I don't.
You love them all.
I do, yeah. And a lot of people say, I don't like white chocolate. But if it's good, proper white chocolate with cocoa butter in it and there's a flavour combination with that, I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's still chocolate.
I think we're drooling. We need to go get a drink of water, I think, Clayton. We have Tad Lombardo.
A cold shower, maybe.
Tad Lombardo in the studio with us. Chocolatier, an award-winning chocolatier, I should say.
Thank you.
We'll come back and chat with him a little further. You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy. Tad Lombardo is in the studio with us tonight, talking all things chocolate and sweetness and so on. It is quite timely and perfect for this time of year.
And to that end, we had another message that says, sexual chocolate is my fave, from Maxie.
Oh.
Okay.
Anyone know a Maxi?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know what sexual chocolate is either.
Isn't it from that movie with Eddie Murphy?
I don't sell any, but no.
I'm sure you do.
Have you been, ever had any kind of weird, strange...
I have.
You know the rest of my sentence, don't you?
Oh, I've had people want me to make, you know, that body chocolate and all that sort of stuff. I'm like, is that really my thing?
No.
You know?
Is it a bit tacky, do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I couldn't.
You're too high end.
I couldn't do that. Yeah.
Business, thank you very much.
That's right.
Has anyone asked you to mold their anatomy? Or
No, they haven't. But
would you like them to?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Yeah, that's not. We'll leave that to Sexy Land or someone to do that.
How does Australia rate in the world? In the chocolate field, or in is there a generic term for that?
No, I mean pastry and chocolate. I think it's one of those scenarios where, when I first moved here, a lot of the inspiration for food, and whether it's savory or sweet, came from the outside, and that's changed dramatically now. I mean, now people are looking to what's happening in Australia, or and in particular Melbourne, because Melbourne's really the food hub in my mind. And what's happening here, and because there's a lot of amazing things, and you know, we might be isolated, but that whole thing of you know, not being as technical with things and food, and I mean, that's all different. I mean, clearly we had just this past week the World's 50 Best Awards in Melbourne, and I was fortunate enough to be able to attend that, and that was just incredible. I mean, you know, so it just goes to show how much of a standing that we have now.
So I guess that takes us into the perfect segue for the Escape Hour, which is something that you are going to be doing here at Joy,
which is amazing. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about
definitely.
That,
so,
Tad?
The Escape Hour is, it's with myself and Russ Masterson, and it's a show that's going to be half food and half travel.
Perfect combination.
It is. And so we're going to have a topic, you know, like last week was our first show. We did New York. So I spoke about, you know, food things with New York, and Russ did a lot of the other things to do in New York and shows. And I mean, obviously from being from there, actually Northern New Jersey, as we've learned earlier, you know, I have had a lot of input into that as well. So, I could talk for hours on that. So it's going to be something where, you know, we're able to share things that are good and maybe bad about a destination. You know, not everybody and not everywhere in the world is a safe place for LGBTIQ people to go. So we're hoping to be informative and giving information and having fun with it along the way.
One of the things that I seem to notice when I've come back from a holiday or somebody else has, and you're talking about travelling, probably the most common thing is, oh, did you go to such and such and eat such and such? Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
And that's that kind of, it's like food is a almost like a safe topic and it's an exciting topic at the same time. Do you find that?
Absolutely. And people tend to spend more money on food when they're on holidays because they've saved up and they're going to splurge and they're going to do things that they won't normally do or dine at places that are not normally on their agenda. And I think it's important.
My number one stop when I'm overseas is the supermarket.
I
love to go check out.
I do that. I do that.
What do you look for in a supermarket in any country?
I like to go back to in the States and look at the supermarkets because everything is so packaged and processed there.
Yeah.
And I just want to, I'd like to see it like we have here. We have fruit and veg, you know, being that I'm based in the Paran market, which is the oldest food market in Australia. I would love for that experience to be able to be had for my family in the States. And unfortunately, a lot of the bakeries, the butchers, you know, they've all closed and now there's just these huge supermarkets. So everybody just goes and it's, you know,
it's soulless, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I like one of the last things I saw was hard-boiled eggs that were cryovac'd. I'm like, you can't boil an egg. I mean, you know.
But one of my questions I've actually said here, do you think we've lost the art of the basic sit around the family dinner table scenario? Do you think we've lost that?
I don't, like, not in my family because we still do that. And I think I don't think we've lost it. I think it might have changed a little bit. But I think it's something that in a lot of families they try to keep going and keep that alive. And with this fast-paced world, and it's hard to do that, I think, sometimes to make sure you have that time with everybody. But like every time I go back to the States, it's just, you know, everybody getting together over food. It might be something formal or not, you know.
And food does unite us in so many different ways. And you can be in a home where there's a total language barrier, but you can still do a, you know, thumbs up to the food that you're eating, or big smiles, or a hug, or a thank you for this bowl of soup or whatever. Yeah. So the food can often be that conduit.
That's right.
And there's nothing else that provides that.
No,
I don't think. We've had another couple of messages in. If you want to send a message into us, you can do so on 0427 Joy 949 or on air@joy.org.au. All this talk is making me feel better about eating all the Easter eggs in the fridge. I feel like I'm eating art and not just getting fat. Great questions, guys. And that is from Nelson. I know where those Easter eggs are, buddy. And this is from Jim. I can't go past Haig's violet creams in dark chocolate with candied violet flowers plus... I take it he doesn't mean in the same chocolate. Chicken in chocolate chili sauce.
Oh, chicken mole. Yeah, that works.
Chicken.
You can do
savory. That's Mexican, isn't it?
It is a
Mexican dish,
yeah.
And definitely. Traditionally, would, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, would you ever have thought of putting those things together?
Well, I mean, it is a Mexican dish, so I think in that cuisine it would be common.
But locally,
but I think it's probably not as much... out there, you know, people are just so obsessed with food and learning about it, and I think it's just more available. Maybe that's the right
word
for
it. What do you think that is? Why do you think we're obsessed? Because, again, last 10, 15 years, all the food shows, the competitions, is that, you know, the home chefs and the let's buy this book and let's. Why is it now?
Well, I think it's a situation too where, as we develop more and learn more about food, our palates develop a lot more as well, and you start to want to challenge that a bit more, and by doing that and by experiencing different cuisines and experimenting with fusion and combining different foods, and so I think it's the whole palate that's developing over time, and that's what's changing.
And our country is changing.
Absolutely.
So you know what I find really interesting? You can go to a food court and see families getting quickly on the run sushi.
Yes.
Who would have thought that?
That's right.
You just wouldn't.
No, that's right. And I think any kind of food is available if you wanted it in Melbourne, and almost on a local basis as well, which I think is great, and it's usually pretty good.
Do you have a favorite savory food?
I do, and it's quite simple. I love pizza. I do. I love it. And I love making pizza at home. That's probably the one I prefer the most is pizza at home, actually.
Yeah, I wondered about that. So spending all day in the kitchen, how do you feel about walking into the kitchen at night when you come home?
Yeah, I do. I do it.
Do it.
I mean, it depends on how tired I am. And what I'll do is I'll try to make, do a lot of cooking on the weekend. So I've got stuff to get me going through the week. But I do. I still love it. I still love making the dough or doing that hands-on part of it. There's something special about it.
The question I get heaps, does your partner cook?
He does. Not quite as much as I do, but yeah.
And what does he like to cook?
Oh, he likes spaghetti bolognese.
Is he American too, Ted?
No, he's Australian.
He's Australian,
Yeah, I mean, he's got his favourites and usuals, but I tend to do most of the cooking in the house, so yeah.
Is there a chocolate mecca, in inverted commas, in the world? Is there a place that you go...
Do you know what? I think there is, and I think it's shifted, you know, from being like Switzerland or France. It's now shifted to the more the producer side of it, like where it's grown.
Do you mean people are more fastidious about the content?
That's right.
Where it's made.
And the provenance
and
the fact that it's, you know, the people who are growing it are treated ethically and that they're paid properly and fairly for it. And I think that's changed the focus quite a bit.
Have you done a chocolate tour? Have you been to Africa? And
I haven't been to Africa yet. I went to Vanuatu and they grow cacao there.
Okay.
I'd like to, hoping to go sometime soon to Central America and South America. I've been to South America, so I've seen that, but it's very fascinating.
Do you have any Oompa Loompas?
No, I don't. I need a few, actually, if you know any.
Ted Lombardo is joining us in the studio. We'll come back and chat a little further. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
The Arts Centre, Commonwealth Bank, Happy Tin, Jeep, Mercedes-Benz, QBE, NAB, Sony, Suzuki, Stan Cash, Bank of Melbourne, Boy Mix, Holland, BFL, Bear Street. What do they all have in common? They've all been proud Joy sponsors, promoting their products and services to Melbourne's largest LGBTIQ audience.
Hi, this is Joy sponsor Matt Anderson from Commercial Road Accounting. There are so many reasons why one should support Joy, especially as a sponsor. But one great reason is that Joy has the largest LGBTIQ audience around. I have been a sponsor for well over 10 years myself. You can benefit from supporting Joy too. So go on, give them a call now.
Head to joy.org.au/sponsors and tell us how we can help you, or call our sponsorship team on 1300-JOY-949. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Hello there, funny lady Judith Lucy, and of course you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be just plain f***ed in the head if you listened to anything else.
Oh, I'd be so jealous of Michelle, who's off to see Judith Lucy.
Go support. The Comedy Festival is on. The show's not about promoting that in particular, but there's some extraordinarily funny Melbourne local comedians. Go and support some local Melbourne artists. And I'm looking forward to going to see Judith Lucy and
Denise Scott
tomorrow night with my son Nelson. Thank you. And something else that I've absolutely gone blank, Escape Hour, which is on at 2 o'clock on a Saturday.
One o'clock on a Saturday.
Yes. Have you got different – is it going to be kind of a different structure or kind of similar to what it was?
No, it is going to have a different structure. We will have some guests coming in when we feel that it's valuable to the topic. One of the things I want to implement is a regular weekly market update of all of Melbourne's markets to give people an idea of what's going on. And because there's so many different events in Melbourne all the time, and I think it can get lost. And I think it's a great idea to go and you know, support the markets. No matter which one it is.
There is something lovely about walking to the end of your street or, you know, your local fete and going and buying a Lamington that's been made by, you know, an 80-year-old lady that's made her own jam. She's made the Lamington. She's made them by, and it's just something lovely about talking to the person that's made
them. Exactly,
and do you also find that even in the shop?
I do, yeah.
Do you spend a lot, do people kind of say, how do you do that? Or, that's beautiful.
They do. And in fact, especially my regular customers on Saturday, basically, when I started doing the radio show, you know, they don't see me as much on Saturday. So it's kind of like they try to time their times that they come to the market when they want to, because they want to just have a chat sometimes. Yeah. And they're lovely. They're all really supportive.
So we're nearly out of time, Tad. Is there something that's on the horizon for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just continuing with the business plan and working hard. And we've got a very big free event at the Paran Market with the Chocolate Festival coming up on May 7th, which is called Wicked Chocolate.
For the whole weekend, or is it just...
It's just on the Sunday.
Just on the Sunday, and free event.
Free event, yep. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take over the entire market, closing Elizabeth Street. There's a chocolate eating contest. There's
please.
A chocolate dunking machine, rushing, which I'll be in.
Chocolate dunking machine. Yeah. Oh,
tell me, have you seen the scene in Vicar of Dibley where she puts her head? Have you ever wanted to do that?
I don't know. Everyone wants to throw chocolate on me. I'm doing a photo shoot next week. And it's like, oh, do you mind if we smear chocolate on you? And I was like, okay, whatever. Okay.
Are you sure it's a photo shoot?
It is a photo shoot, yeah. I don't do full frontal. I've already made that one. At least not for extra money.
Well, it has been absolutely lovely and very, very sweet having you.
Thank you for inviting me in.
Just for those that want to come, even if the shop is closed, go and have a look in the window. It is it is just beautiful.
Thank
the feast for the eyes. Where do they go? Where do people go to eat your chocolate?
Basically, my shop is in the Paran Market, 163 Commercial Road. And that's where I have the bulk of my product offering.
Mm. And it's right in the middle of the market. It's surrounded by fruit and veg, isn't it?
That's right, in the flower shop right across the way. Yeah. So I have a beautiful vantage point no matter where I look.
You've got a wonderful spot.
Well, thank you for the little treats that you did bring in for us tonight.
You're welcome.
Tad. And have a wonderful Easter. Enjoy your chocolate.
You have a great evening as well. Thank
and
you.
And we would love to have you come back and join us again.
I will,
and we'll chat a little bit
more. Because then we can do more research.
That's what Clayton's calling it, guys. He's edible research. I think that's what we're calling. So, as we said a little earlier, Joy Radiothon is coming up. So please have a thought about how, think about how you can support this amazing radio station. There's some extraordinary programs on Joy. Up next is Family Matters at 8, and at 9 is The Woods. So stay on Joy for the rest of the evening. Thank you, Clayton, across the desk. Thank you, Stephanie, across
Thank you,
the
Michelle.
Desk. Happy Easter, everyone. Thank you,
Tad,
for joining us. And you've been listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.